Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC Studios, this is Money Talking at Work. I'm Charlie Herman. And in these episodes, we're working with the folks at the Harvard Business Review, trying to figure out how to survive, even thrive, in the workplace. And today, take a moment and think about what drives you crazy at work. For me lately, it is constantly being interrupted. I sit in an open office at what feels like the corner of First and Main, and people stop by all the time to chat or talk to me about issues that are coming up, and it's really frustrating. I know no one's doing it on purpose, but I can't get any work done. Well, for Karen Dillon, contributing editor at Harvard Business Review,
the thing that probably drives me crazy are people who take all the oxygen out of the room.
You know, those coworkers who take credit for your idea.
They need all the attention. They want all the credit. They see themselves as working as a soloist rather than in collaboration with others. I think work can be fun and interesting and exciting if you collaborate with people that you like working with, and not so much if you work with people who seem to think they're on some competitive solo mission.
So today, what do you do if this happens to you, say, in a meeting?
My advice always is take a breath. You know, you do nothing in the moment that you're most irked because you're not thinking straight.
And you've heard this before. It's good to check yourself before you say anything. Because, well, maybe it's you and not them. Maybe you don't deserve as much credit as you think you do.
One thing that's, I think, important to know is psychologists will tell us that our own brains function so that we all overestimate the amount of work we've done on something collaborative. We all think we've done the majority. We all think the proportion of work we've done or the things we've worked on are the most important things. So know that. So take a step back and realize this may be completely unintentional. He or she may just be doing what her brain is saying to do, is to take credit for the things she believes she did really well.
But if it is your idea, and if you think you do deserve credit, then you have to think a bit more about the situation. Should you stay quiet? Or if it's your boss, let's say, who's proposing your idea, is this a case where it's just part of your job? If you help her succeed, you help yourself.
Take a step back and say, what's the goal here? The goal is, that's a good idea and I'd like to work on it. Or my boss knows, whether consciously or subconsciously, that I am a team player, that I want him or her to look good. I will do better work as a result of having a healthy relationship with him or her. If you can take a step back and say, you know, how does this help me and the organization? And the answer is that it does and it can, then I think that's okay. I think that is the deal we make.
I hear what you're saying. You're totally right. But I know that I have been in meetings where I have proposed an idea for something that we should cover news-wise. And I get a lot of, oh, yeah, that's kind of interesting. And then maybe it's my boss, maybe it's somebody more senior, maybe it's another editor or reporter who says, hey, we really should do this story about X. And everyone's like, oh, yeah, that's a really great story. And in my mind, I think, okay, maybe I seeded that idea in people, but hello, like I was just talking about this a week ago, and now everyone's jumping on this like it's a great idea. Like, why don't I get credit because I'm the person who actually raised it in the first place and no one could absorb it? I hear what you're saying. The story gets done. That's the most important thing. But
I know it's real. What you're saying is real. And I've had that happen to me, too. And again, maybe you and I both have that filter where we, you know, maybe somebody planted it with us and we don't remember and we over imagine our contribution. But it is frustrating and it is real and it happens a lot. I think people are almost only ready to hear something when they're ready to hear something. So maybe it has gotten in there subliminally and it comes back out again. If it
you
happens
and I are just
constantly,
we're just too ahead of the curve.
Well, if it happens constantly, you can do things about that. You can make your contributions a little more obvious and official and for the record without looking like a jerk.
How do you do it?
Well, personally, what I've done over the years sometimes is when there's something like that comes up and they raise the idea, contribute really healthily to the conversation so that they know you've thought about this. You don't have to say, as I suggested last week at the water cooler, but you can say, yeah, I've been thinking
about
this.
Oh, you're talking about my idea that I was raised last week.
The key is you can't look like a jerk in trying to get credit from people that you think look like a jerk for stealing credit from you. That, you know, you lose if you end up sort of outdoing them as a credit stealer somehow. But if you can contribute in a way that makes very clear to your colleagues, you have something to say. Oh, probably you have thought about this. Maybe in that exact moment they don't remember, but maybe in a private conversation afterwards. You know, we started talking about this in the hallway last week and I was really interested in it. I'd love to keep working on it. You can gently reseed with the people around you that this is something you have been thinking about. You did suggest it and you'd like to work on it, for example. That's a gentle way to do it.
Yeah, because on the flip side, I was just going to say that I've been in those sorts of meetings where an idea will come up and somebody will say, well, that's an idea that I, you know, talked about doing a month ago and nobody was interested. And the response to that is not usually like, oh, it's a good idea. It's usually a response of, really? Like, that's the attitude that you're taking right now?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. If you look worse in trying to somehow claim what you think is your territory, you don't win. Nothing wins. The idea doesn't win. You don't win in your colleagues' eyes. You look like the jerky credit stealer or credit grump, whatever you want to say. And that's not a win. That's not the right way to go about it.
Okay, give me your bullet points for how you make sure that you get credit if you feel like somebody else has taken it away from you.
So if it's an active credit stealer as opposed to a harmless, benign, indifferent one, which we've just talked about. So first of all, that is a form of bullying. You know, if somebody in a meeting, you know, just puts their name on the memo or uses the word I the whole time when there's been a really deliberate we stayed up all night, we worked hard on this for 2 weeks, we talked to 27 people to interview them or whatever. Not in the meeting again, that's when you look like a jerk, but outside of the meeting, privately confront them. Bullies don't like to be confronted. You don't have to confront them in an aggressive way, but you could say, you just put your name on that memo. I was disappointed about that. Why did you decide to do it that way? We worked together on that project. Or did you know you kept saying I throughout that conversation? That bothered me because I put in just as many hours as you did. Can we agree to mutually credit each other? You can do it gently, but if you call them on specific behavior, again, people who are bullies are really usually cowards, you know, in private. They don't want to be caught. So getting caught should, gently and not in a way that embarrasses them publicly, should go a long way to reducing that effect from some people, not from all people, but from some people.
It's funny. In so many of these workplace issues, I feel there's two things that you always need to do. When something pisses you off, take a deep breath, relax, and give it a moment to think about it. It may not be as bad as you think. And then the second one is usually just go up and talk to the person.
I absolutely agree. And I can tell you there's another version of it that's bad that I've done myself and I've trained myself to not over the years, which is to fire off an email. Like you want to get, you're so mad or upset or it's in response to something that's not in person. You know, it's an email and you fire off an email and so many things can go wrong. First of all, it can go to the wrong group of people. You look like a jerk. You could have been so red hot mad reading the email that you misread it. You know, it could have been mentioning that your team's going to present this finding in a week and we look forward to hearing more or whatever. So there's so much that can go wrong. What I've learned to do is I draft an email with – I do not put any names in the to line. I draft it. It kind of gets it out of my system. I can save it in my draft, but if I don't put any name in it, there's no chance I will accidentally fire it off. So I've sort of vented it a little bit. If I still feel like, you know, later that day, the next day, I really want to send this and – hopefully you've done the thing that I advise, which is talk to someone. Is it really this bad? Did anyone else read it that way? Before you do it, then you can choose to, but it's with a much calmer perspective than that, you know, fingers can't type fast enough. You can always tell when someone's responding in anger to an email, right? Their fingers are going really fast.
There's tons of misspellings and you know it's done on a phone.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Okay, so then one final question here is, what is the best way to claim credit for your work without, you know, breaking your arm, patting yourself on the back or looking like a braggart? Because that's the other side of this equation, which is you want to make sure that people know what you did, but you don't want to do it in such a way that people roll their eyes.
Well, two things you can do. One is preemptive and one's after the fact. So preemptively, actually be organized about assigning and on paper who's doing what. Keep status reports. Who's responsible for what? Have kind of a document that makes clear and can be shared. I'm doing the research. I'm doing the testing. I'm doing the whatever. Here are the deliverables. From the beginning, even if you're all well-intentioned, you may forget. People may forget in the course of working on something. So you have a document that spells out effectively credit and responsibility. That's a very good way to start any project because people can just, with good intentions, do the wrong thing or misunderstand what they're assigned to do. And the second thing is, specifically when you're coming to the end of a project or if credit seems to be going the wrong direction, you can course correct. You can say, I would like to present at the next meeting X and Y and Z, or it's okay to say to your colleagues and even to your manager if you need to, I would like to get credit for this and I'm really interested in it. Can I present? You know, always be asking to do something that's for the good of the company or the good of the project, but it comes with credit to you. And most people will usually say yes to that. And model, the third last thing is model good behavior. When you are involved in group projects and you're announcing, you know, maybe like the email that you sent, credit the people who deserve to be credited in your email at the same time or in the announcement at the same time. Don't overcredit. It devalues if you list every single person who, you know, proofread something.
And there's the danger you forget somebody.
Exactly. But if you can think carefully about the people who really do deserve to be credited, and you do that routinely in the high visibility moments, I think that's a good thing too. You model that you expect it and you do it.
Karen, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Karen Dillon is the author of the HBR Guide to Office Politics. And what about you? Do you have an issue that you'd like to have answered? Let me know. Send an email to moneytalking@wnyc.org. Or you can tweet us. Our handle is @moneytalking. And if there's anything that I've learned today in this talk, it is to make sure to share credit. So, Money Talking is a production of WNYC Studios. The team includes Merrick Jacob, Bill Moss, Julia Longoria, and Jenna Cagle. And a big thanks to Julia. She recently got a promotion and is now working with another podcast here at WNYC, Only Human. She recently produced a great interview about Willie Parker, an obstetrician gynecologist who provides safe abortions in the Deep South. If you think you've got a challenging job, well, be sure to check out his story. Special thanks, as always, to Amy Poftak at the Harvard Business Review. Thanks again for listening. I'm Charlie Herman.